Today's sermon on this fourth Sunday of Advent is called Finding Hope in an Anxious World. My brothers and sisters in Christ, let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts always be acceptable in your sight, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. In the passages just at the beginning of our scripture today, the Archangel Gabriel. Well, you know Gabriel, right? No? Well, Gabriel is a messenger of God, an archangel. Wait a minute, you know about archangels, don't you? No? Okay, well, before we go any further, let's talk about that. Archangels are not guardian angels. There's lots of guardian angels. Guardian angels are tasked to keep us safe, and they're kind of like our energetic eyes and ears. And they're really popular these days with young people because they're all about you. They're all about you and about you. They're all about each one of us. We all have a guardian angel. We give each other little angel pens and things like that. That's what guardian angels are all about. And we love guardian angels because they feed our egos, knowing that the world is set up just for us, right? Yet another individual experience that only we can have. But there's only a few archangels, and they serve a much broader purpose. The archangels are like Gabriel and Michael and Raphael, right? These are the few, the managers, the overseers of the order of things. They're the managers and overseers, in fact, of the guardian angels, making sure that everyone is kind of fulfilling their assignments well. And not only do archangels have a bird's eye view of our lives, but they see the depth and scope of our human struggles from above, and they also see that in context of the big picture for all of us. They have the know-how to orchestrate and maneuver and to make our manifestations happen for the highest and best of all involved. And Archangel Gabriel is also the angel protector of Israel against all other archangels of all the other nations. And the Archangel Gabriel is also the principal messenger of God to God's people. So this matters because when the archangel appears in a little town and says, "Greetings, highly favored one, the Lord is with you," this might just be a little shocking, don't you think? The Bible tells us that Mary was greatly troubled at these words, even wondering what kind of greeting this was. I think we can all agree that having an archangel appear would rattle us up a little bit. But then, and right at that moment, he says, "Be not afraid." Those biblical words that are scattered throughout the Bible, "Be not afraid." Oh, well, all right then. Sure, be not afraid. Now, Mary accepts God's purpose for her, and especially our Catholic brothers and sisters focus on Mary's faithful consent of what she says, "May it be to me as you have said." But I don't know that we fully appreciate that Mary was still trying to take all of this in. As an unwed pregnant teen, it seems to me that she saw a lot of danger staying in Nazareth. Do we have any idea what happened to unwed teen mothers in ancient times? They're stoned to death at the entrance to their father's house. Mary has nothing but a story of an angel to tell her mom and dad and also her betrothed, Joseph. They all knew that he didn't get her pregnant. And Joseph would have been well within his rights to report her to the authorities and watch her to be killed. I mean, this is shocking to our ears, isn't it? It's Taliban-like brutality. So, from my point of view, and this is just me, but hear me out. If I were in Mary's shoes, I think I'd have fled to a distant cousin's house, too. How about you? Now, her flight to the hill country in Elizabeth's house is, for my two cents, a demonstration of a very real flight or fight response that we get when we're faced with danger. This is a very normal reaction in most of the animal kingdom, and humans are no exception. And in an ancient society that based itself on religious dogma, if we actually read Deuteronomy 22, go ahead. It's in there, the whole thing about stoning. We might flee too for the hills. And yet, the angel said, be not afraid. Well, okay. I'm willing to try that be not afraid thing, but how do we know which promises of God will be fulfilled? And what circumstances are beyond control of both the archangels and our guardian angels? What if we were forced from our homes based on something we never intended? Just like Mary never intended her pregnancy. What if we had to flee our homes or be killed based on our religion? What if we had to flee our families because we could be killed based on our racial background? What if we had to flee all that we knew because others had threatened us or our children with death unless we did their bidding? I think we would be very afraid, feeling very alone, wondering where our angels were and what might be happening here on earth. Do you see the modern parallels between Mary and our own lives? But the angel said, be not afraid. I think that's a pretty tall order. But if we can empathize and feel the desperation that I just described, that is the fear that is driving so many from their countries of origin right now to some other place, any other place, because it's no longer safe at home. These folks are the ones that we hear about in the newspapers today, on TV, and in our online news feeds in Belarus and Turkey and Mexico. They're fleeing for their lives. And I think for my part, I think folks who don't want to die and are fleeing for their lives are just not dangerous. They're like us, except we've forgotten our deep emotion. We've forgotten to feel like Mary and say, what's going to happen to me? I got to get out of here. We have forgotten our deep emotions. These are also their emotions. The migrant, the refugee, the ones who are fleeing for their lives. And because we've forgotten our deep emotions, I think we have also forgotten our common humanity. The one that Mary confronts us with each Christmas, but it's also the one that we dismiss again and again and again. Because extraordinary Mary is not afraid. The irony, as my friend Austin Shelley says, is that we should probably be afraid of Jesus too. The one who hangs out with all the wrong sorts, you know the wrong sorts. The ones who have diseases that could kill us. The ones to whom we have attached the scarlet letter to, no matter how long ago their actions. Oh, you remember when they did? We say. The ones who don't speak our language and need our help to get basic needs met. The ones who haven't showered because there are no showers. For those who live in tents in the forest. And the congregation that I just served before coming to Greenland, there were folks who lived in tents in the forest. And they were viewed with suspicion, derision, not compassion or mercy. Jesus loved these people, and for this reason, we should be afraid of him. Because following him involves taking risks to love others more deeply, seeing others through their eyes, just as he did. When Jesus encountered people that we exclude, he took action. He restored them to health and the participation in the life of the community. Now, look, I get it. There's a fight or flight instinct in us all. But I also caution us to not get all gooey-eyed at Mary's Magnificat. She sings praises to God only after she's safely hidden, for the moment, until she can figure out how she won't be killed. If those who would seek to kill her knew that her son, what her son would do when he grew up, I think they might have doubled down on their search and to kill them both. And yet we are told to trust in God and to be not afraid. I want to leave you with these final thoughts. Warren Buffett coined a phrase called the ovarian lottery, and he said famously that all of us are darn lucky here that we have won the ovarian lottery, that we were born in America at this time in history, because we have a pretty good go of it. And I think he's right. But I also think that's what holds us back, and what keeps us deep down afraid. We are fundamentally, on a gut level, afraid of risking our hearts, our homes, our money, our relationships to do the Jesus thing, because in our comfort, we do not want to suffer as others suffer. To take in strangers who are just as afraid, but for other reasons. It's fine to have a Jesus who comforts the afflicted. But it's not okay in America to have a Jesus who afflicts the comforted, is it? And yet, this is the Sunday of peace, the Advent Sunday of peace. I hope that when we get that anxious feeling, that initial fight or flight to tell us to hunker down, that instead of being afraid, we can run to each other, just as Mary did to Elizabeth. We have, at the Community Congregational Church here in Greenland, a covenant community that reminds us that we've all been through sufferings, but that we all also have blessings. People right here, right now, we can talk to, have hold us, help embolden us to face Jesus in the faces of others who have fled as well. We can flee to the people in our lives, in our congregation here, in their lives, in their struggles. We can reveal our hearts just a little bit more. And so, I do believe the angel that says, be not afraid. But I say, be not afraid, people of God, because we have one another. It's not a thing that happened 2,000 years ago. Be not afraid, people of God, for we have one another. And that is the promise of the Advent Sunday of peace. I believe that peace is the absence of fear. Now, I get it. Look, we all struggle. We all have pain. But we also all seek peace. And we have to trust the archangels that all will be well. We have to figure out our guardian angels are near and here in amazing ways. And this Christmas, if we want the peace of God, we have to find ways to say, I love you to everyone. Everyone. No exceptions, not ever. And only then might we be able to say, may it be to me as you have said. Those famous words that Mary uttered. In perfect acceptance and obedience to God's purposes, that they will be fulfilled. And when we might be able to say that, may it be to me as you have said, then we can be fulfilled. And the next time when we're confronted with a fight or flight, we can truly, richly, deeply be not afraid. And for that, thanks be to God. Amen.